This is Arun Vanagopal in for Tanzina Vega, and you're listening to The Takeaway. After Christmas, Valentine's Day is the second most popular holiday for sending cards. An estimated 145 million cards will be exchanged tomorrow, and yet several big card companies and retailers like Papyrus, American Greetings, and Carlton Cards have all recently declared bankruptcy. In their place, though, a group of smaller indie designers and artists have sprung up, just as millennials and Generation Z are looking for ways to connect and express themselves outside of social media. For a look at our relationship with greeting cards and handwritten sentiments today, I'm joined by Carrie Gifford, co-founder and creative director of the company Red Cap Cards, and Tanzila Ahmed, an activist and storyteller who has for years had a line of cards on Etsy she calls Muslim Valentine's Day Cards. Both of you, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hello.
So, Tanzila, you and I go way back, and we've seen you launch this series to great acclaim. Where did you come up with this idea of Muslim Valentine's Day cards?
So I was a part of a book called Love Inshallah, The Secret Love Lives of American Muslim Women. And we'd go on book tour and I'd get asked all these really absurd questions about, do Muslim women love? Are we capable of love? And I just thought it was so ridiculous. I started using the hashtag Muslim V-Day and coming up with like really weird political types of card sayings. And after a while, all my friends were like, you should just turn these sayings into actual cards. And now it's turned into this 8-year-long project, which is pretty wild.
And you're the artist as well as the writer?
I am the artist as well as the writer, yeah.
Oh, they're very lovingly done. I guess that's part of the appeal of them is that they're actually attractive cards and not just cheeky.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, we got to make them a little cute, too, you know? We can't just have just sayings.
So let's hear some of the quotes. A couple that stood out to me were from your cards are, call your representative, then call me. And touchingly, I'd never Muslim ban you from my heart.
yeah.
So what are some of your own favorites?
I have one inspired from the wall that is getting built. There's no border wall that could keep us apart. Mm-hmm. And then another one with a little chain around it is, I'd never deport you.
And then there's So Fly List. Carrie, if we didn't have Etsy, do you think Taz could have ever gotten her cards sold at a big box store or published through Hallmark?
No.
No chance. Huh?
No, I think, you know, I went through, before I started Red Cap with my husband, when we started, I was the original illustrator. And then over time, I actually did illustrations for some of these other companies. And they put you through a gigantic testing process. And if your images aren't going to speak to this test audience that they put it out with, then the chances are they're not going to make your card. They're not going to make your card.
So they're just so big in bureaucratic places.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's just like when you do something like that versus with smaller companies like us, we're not going to test our products. We're going to be making products from our heart, things that make sense to us, things that we believe in, things that we see that are missing in the market. And that's not their goal. Their goal is to, you know, sell as many cards as possible.
I mean, do you think that this, I guess, conservatism in terms of their approach is actually contributing to the decline of these big card companies?
I think so. I think that we have, you know, a thoughtful, intelligent, you know, consumers out there who are looking for something that they can connect with. And nowadays, I think people are feeling the need to connect in a way that's more personal to them. And we have a lot of younger buyers. The card market used to be a lot of the baby boomer type of people out there buying and giving cards. And now, you know, we have a new generation of people who want something that is a tangible way to connect. And they're not probably seeing themselves in those markets.
Tanzila, what kind of reaction did you get when you started selling these cards? I mean, I guess you had some friends who were really eating it up, right?
Yeah, I have a lot of friends that were really into the cards, but I got a lot of pushback too. I got a lot of pushback from very conservative non-Muslim communities that were saying that I was spreading jihad through my cards, which is just absolutely ridiculous. And then also from the conservative Muslim community, they're saying that I'm putting out a bad portrayal of what it means to be Muslim.
So Carrie, have you seen like a real evolution in terms of the sentiments themselves over the years, or is it pretty much largely sort of stuck in a very you know, traditional mode of expression?
I think I have. I think, you know, you have your traditional birthday, thank you, all your holiday categories of greeting cards that people give cards for. But I think what we're seeing now is a lot of people wanting to give cards that are more about uplifting, empowering messages and more personal notes, things that have to do with more about empathy and encouragement and even mental health, or cards that are just more diverse in their artwork and picture. I just think these are cards that traditionally you wouldn't have found in a market. And now we're seeing a lot of people who are far more connected to their own lives and their own emotions and how they're feeling. And I think, you know, and all the, they're in this feeling of support with one another. So you're seeing a lot of people giving cards for these reasons. And I know just with our artists, we have a lot of artists who want to make cards like that. And even as a company, we're always kind of looking for that message as well, something that's making us feel good about who we are as individuals.
And so do you think the bigger companies were just sort of too disconnected from these changes to kind of respond to them?
You know, it's hard to say. I don't know exactly what their thought process is, but I'm pretty sure it has to do with they know that a birthday card is about 80 to 90% of their business. And so they're going to focus on making those, and they're going to focus on a thank you card, and they're going to focus on these, you know, on these very, you know, general occasions, but they're not going to dive deep into, like, you know, a more deeper emotional palette of who we are all as a humanity. Like, you know, they don't want to put their money into, you know, mental health when they know they can sell 80% of their cards or birthday. It's just kind of, I think, where they're at.
That's Carrie Gifford, co-founder and creative director of the company Red Cap Cards, and Tanzila Ahmed, an activist and storyteller who sells her Muslim Valentine's Day cards on Etsy. Thanks to you both for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We asked if you still send or receive handwritten letters and greeting cards, and we heard from so many of our listeners on this.
Hi, it's Ben from Venice. My mom sends me cards often, and in them are little notes. One of the notes said, "This is your life. Create it, or someone else will." I put these notes up around my apartment, and I always look at them. It's really nice to get handwritten notes from a loved one.
Hi, my name is Erica, and I'm calling from Santa Cruz. And yes, I do still write letters, and sometimes my grandkids do too. My most recent one is from one of my granddaughters, and it says, "I love you, and I love your cookies. Love, Maxine." It's the best kind of letter to get. Email just doesn't do it.
This is Kelly from Oviedo, Florida. I make all my own cards. I'm an artist, and I do special drawings, write personal notes, and decorate the envelopes as well. The envelopes are especially fun. I incorporate the name and address into elaborate pictures. Sending handwritten letters is a lost art, and I take great pleasure in making and sending them. The responses are overwhelmingly positive.
This is Nikki Muhammad Fauzi from Arlington, Texas. I still receive letters and cards from friends and family. My favorite is a message from my friend Bonnie, who said, "I love that our friendship is still so strong, that even having not corresponded with each other for several years, we're able to pick up right where we left off as though the last conversation we had was yesterday."
Hi, this is Reem calling from Ridgewood, New Jersey. In the last 2 weeks, my family had to say goodbye to a beloved pet, and it was completely unexpected and especially hard on me because I had to make a lot of the hard decisions to let him go. Just today, we received a lovely handwritten note from the veterinarians who took care of Sydney in his last days, along with a packet of seeds to plant flowers in his memory. And part of the note reads as follows. "He was a very special soul, and it was easy to see how much he was loved. Please find solace in all of your wonderful memories of him." Seeing this really helped me feel better about some of the hard decisions that I had to make, and it's definitely helped me feel more at ease without having Sydney around.
It's always good to hear from you folks at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You can share anything you want to on any topic. This is The Takeaway.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.